Thank the Lord this morning for the privilege to be here again. And I feel that God spoke to me several hours in the night and gave me some scripture to speak to you about this morning. I feel that if we could heed the lesson that the Lord has for us this morning, it could be life transforming. It's that powerful. So I just pray that the Lord will communicate that, the application of it to our lives, that we will know how to apply it. If you could title the message this morning, it would be A Servant's Heart. I'd like to speak to us this morning about what it means to serve the Lord. One thing that the Lord brought to my mind was when Saul, in Acts chapter 9, was on his way to arrest the saints and to persecute them. Saul was an energetic and zealous person. He was really a good servant at this point. He was serving with all of his heart. But he had his mind was blinded. He didn't know who Jesus was. But I'm thinking of how he responded whenever he realized who Jesus was. In verse 4 it says, he fell to the earth. He heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I believe this morning that this is the first requirement for having a servant's heart, is to have this thought and this mind toward the Lord. Lord, what will you have me to do? And I'd like to give this to us as a challenge for beginning this meeting, that as we go into the meeting, as we are, you're not here solitary. You're here, we're here in a group. The purpose of this is public worship. It's group, it's a convocation, it's a calling out and a calling together. It's a gathering together. Our gathering is unto Christ, but we serve Christ by how we serve each other. And this is the heart of a servant, is to have this prayer, Lord, what will you have me to do? And so I want to challenge you this morning to not just have a heart, Lord, bless me. Lord, help me. Lord, teach me. And we have all of that. Yes, that's good. But with that thought, be like Isaiah, who when he saw and he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Immediately he said, here am I, send me. And that's a challenge that I would give you this morning, that as you go through your days, through these days here at the meeting, that this would be the heart that you have and that I have. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Then the Lord brought this to my mind in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 9, immediately after a servant would ask the master, what would you have me to do? He doesn't want you to just go lay down and wait for direction, but he wants a servant begins to look around for something and find something to do. This is what good parents teach their children. You don't just lay around, you find something to do. When you see a child and that child is filled with idleness, that should be a cause of alarm for any adult who sees somebody who's got so much idleness on their hands. That child needs something purposeful to do. It's essential for a child's self-esteem to have something to do. There are things that children get into when they don't have anything to do. But it's good for a child to be taught to be very industrious, to do things, creative things, happy things, noble things, serviceful things. If you see a child that's sad, that child, you need to find out what that child can do and let that child know that it is useful. That child is useful to you and can accomplish something for you. And you'll see the beam on that child's face. That's just something about humans. But here he said, whatsoever, in verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And that's another part of the servant's heart, is that I go and I find something to do. I remember one time I was in a restaurant in Pizza Hut in Guthrie, and I noticed across the restaurant were two friends that I had known in grade school, and I hadn't seen them in years. And it's interesting how conversations that you catch a drift of affect you. And this has been years ago, but this has still affected me. These two, a man and a woman, like I said, I had known them in grade school. And in public school or in grade school there, religion wasn't part of our discussions much at all. And I didn't know how these two had turned out. And, you know, I was living for the Lord and I was in ministry and had married and had a family. But I hadn't seen these two in years and I was interested in, I wonder how they turned out. And they were speaking together, and I could hear what they were saying. And they were talking about the Lord. And one of them said to the other, he said, I don't pray, oh, Father, show me what to do today. He said, I can just see the Heavenly Father saying, bye-bye. Go do what you're supposed to do. Do what you know to do. And that has affected me. That just a little snippet of conversation that I heard, it has really influenced my life. I have thought about that a lot since then. How that the Lord, yes, He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to look to Him for direction, and our eyes are always on Him for direction. He wants a real close relationship with us. He doesn't want us to have to be held in with a bit and bridle and have blinders on us all the time, and have check reins so tight that you can't move. I mean, that's, you know, you that know horses, you know that language. That's not how the Lord seeks to guide His children. How does He seek to guide us? With His eye. He wants our eyes on Him for direction. But also, He wants us to have a servant's heart, to where we're constantly looking for something to do, and when we do find it, we go after it. We do what we know to do, and we do it with our might. We do it with all of our hearts. And I had an opportunity this year that was real pleasant, something that just kind of fell my way, an obligation, actually, that became something that was pleasurable. It was some art classes we had purchased for our daughter, and then she wasn't there to take it, so we had to go ahead and fill that slot. We had paid for it. And so I took it. It was fun. And the man that I took this week-long class from, he's a motivational speaker. He has a lot of good ideas. He's raised in the hills of Kentucky. He's a, kind of what you'd call a self-made man. He's an artist. He's accomplished. He's professional. And he lectures as he gives the instruction. All the time that he is sitting there painting, he is talking to you, not just about painting, but about life and about business and about family. And it's very interesting. Now, this man, he said, or all of the students, there are about 25 of us. No, wait. No, there weren't that many. There were about 16 of us. And we would all be doing our little work, and every little bit you'd see somebody hop up with their board and go up to him. And a lot of times there was a line there, people waiting to talk to him while he worked. And he'd say, "Okay, what's up? What do you need?" And so usually whenever I got to him, I'd say, "I need you to tell me what to do next." And he would, sometimes he wouldn't even look up. He would just say, "Do what you know to do." And I would say, "That's exactly the point. I've never done this before. I need you to help me to know what to do." But you know, that stuck in my mind too. A lot of times when he would say that, it would pop in my mind. I said, "Well, I think I need to work on the fruit. I know I can do that fruit. Go do it." That's how he responded. He wanted you to think for yourself. He wanted you to look into your own heart and know, "I can do that. That's something that I can do. I'm going to go do that." And I just feel this morning that there are many of us that we lag behind, we wait back, we hesitate because we're not sure. But if we would just simply say, "This is something I can do. To the glory of God, I'm going to do this as a servant." I know my brother, John, there were some things that he couldn't do anymore toward the end there. But that last year or so, every time, he went to several camp meetings, but every time that I saw him, he was picking up trash. Every camp meeting, he was emptying the trash, he was picking up trash. It almost was like an obsession with him, but it was something that he knew he could do. He couldn't work on the electrical anymore. It was dangerous for him to climb a ladder anymore, but he could pick up trash, and he would do it with all his heart. You know, there are things that even children can do here on the grounds, and you can do it well. There are things that you can do that the adults can't do. And let's look at this verse now in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 23, see the progression. These are the things that the Lord brought to me during the night. What would you have me to do? Well, whatever you find to do, do it with your might. And now this one. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Now this is something that will blight the pleasure that you get out of the job that you do, and also the relationship, that the reward that you'll receive from the Lord, if you let a cloud of self come in between what you're doing and what you're and then the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? If you're doing the work, but you're doing it to be seen of men, that will take away all your blessing. That will dim things for you. You won't receive the Lord's reward. So this is whatever that you have, a servant's heart will serve and do what they know to do if nobody sees them. That's a real servant's heart. You'll get the job done whether anybody praises you or not. You'll do it well whether anybody is checking your work or not. Somebody said that your character is what you do if no one knows about it. Now think about that. If no one knows what you're doing, are you doing it well? Are you doing it right? That is the heart of a servant, is to serve to the Lord, because we know that the Lord always sees. The Lord is always pleased. He always is happy with willing service. When no one else sees you, the Lord sees you. He writes it down. One scripture says, those that fear the Lord, They spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written up before him for them that loved him, that feared him, and that thought upon his name. I believe that willing service is certainly in there, in that speaking and in that fearing and in that thinking about the Lord's name. If you're a child and nobody sees you and you picked up trash for 30 minutes on the grounds, did you know the Lord sees you? He looks at that. He'll bless you for that. Do it for the Lord. That's how you can serve the Lord. You can serve Him by, remember this. Let's look at a scripture that Jesus gave us in John chapter 13. And we mention this sometimes in feet washing, but the rite or the ritual of feet washing, it is to us an object lesson of service. And I think of often whenever we're washing feet, I think of it this way. There's two ways that I look at it. When I'm washing someone's feet, I think I'm washing Jesus' feet. And what would I do if this was Jesus? What all would I do for Him if He were here and we were together? What would I not do for Him? There's nothing I wouldn't do for Him. And when you're washing feet, this is what you can think. And you look up into the eyes of your sister or your brother. And I'd love to do this. I love to think, how can I serve you? How can I bear your burden a little more? How can I help you? How can I lift you a little bit better? How can I enter into your concerns better? Is there something that I can do for you? That's what I love to think. And it doesn't matter who it is that you're washing. Those are the thoughts. That's because that's Jesus. Think of it that way. I'm washing Jesus' feet. And if you're the one sitting there and someone is washing your feet, think about it this way. That's Jesus washing my feet. That's the way that makes it so blessed to think, I am being blessed and I don't deserve this. I am being accepted and I am being served and I am being loved and my burdens are being lifted and I'm being cared for and somebody is concerned about me. I don't deserve it. Thank you. I appreciate this so much. I love you. Those are good things to think about because Jesus said, let's see, in verse 15, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. In verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And another scripture I want to turn to is there in Matthew 25. Remember this one. Verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now remember this concept of a servant's heart is everything that I do that I really want to do for Jesus, I can find expression in that by doing something for someone else. And it doesn't matter who it is. It could be a mother. If we as mothers will think about our little children as doing everything for that child like doing it to Jesus, you know, that would transform motherhood for us. I am taking care of baby Jesus. That doesn't seem like very practical sometimes, but it would help us. Whatever it is, he said, if you do it unto one of the least, you've done it unto me. Another scripture that the Lord brought to my mind was something that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 19. A servant's heart is that I voluntarily do it. No one is coercing me. Nobody is telling me, you better do this. But a servant, he's looking for something to do. He's doing it as unto the Lord. And it takes all the grudge out of it. I'm not doing this because somebody's going to get me if I don't. But I make myself do this because I want to. He says here, for though I am free, I be free from all men. Yet have I made myself servant unto all. Now here's the difference. Nobody's doing this. Nobody's telling me I've got to do this. But I've made myself a servant to everybody. You know, that will transform your thinking and everything that you do in life. If you'll do it and say, I'm doing this because I want to do this. Nobody, there is not another element here. I'm not doing it for the praise of the saints. I'm not doing it because the pastor will think well of me. I'm not doing it for any other reason. Simply that I want to be a servant to everybody. I want to serve everybody. And then it says that I might gain the more. Remember, we're here to work for the Lord. The gain that we hope to get is the souls of men and women, boys and girls. And so that's why we do everything that we do. We give ourselves in service to each other, to the unsaved, to the young people, to the children. There is nobody that comes on these grounds that is worthless. Everybody is worth something. They're very valuable. Every person, no matter what they look like, they are worth. We need that person. We don't ever want to get to the where we think, yeah, I don't need you. We don't need you here. There is not a person that we should ever communicate those things to. But we should constantly communicate to every person. You have worth. You are valuable. There is nobody like you. I want to get to know you better. How can I help you? How can I serve you? In the past, I maybe haven't even communicated. I've never had a conversation with you. Did you know there are people you can go through years, year after year at Monarch, and never have a meaningful conversation with them? You don't really know that person? I would challenge you this year, change that. Reach out to the person that you've had kind of a push-off in your own mind. I want to tell you what that push-off is. It's not just shyness. It's some selfishness. It's just that I just really don't want to put myself out to get to know you. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's, I don't think you like me. What is that? It's a little selfishness. But that person has worth. Who knows? You may enjoy the same things. You may like the ocean, and they may like the ocean. You can talk about the ocean. You may like hunting, and they like hunting. You can talk about hunting. We don't have to go up to somebody and say, how is it with your soul? Are you going to heaven? Why are you here in like that? That's not how we do this. That is very unprofessional. If we're going to be soul winners, we need to be wise. We need to connect with somebody. before we try to correct them. You understand this? Connect with them before you can correct them. We're salesmen. It's a poor salesman who comes up and says, you know, you're driving an ugly car. We need to make what we're giving them very, very attractive. Did you know that people are watching our expressions as we worship? I had an experience in this same art class where I met a woman. She's from Ohio. She said when she learned where, she wanted to know where I went to church. And so then she wanted to know, are you Cleveland, Tennessee, or are you Anderson, Indiana? So I said, well, you know, I hate to make distinctions, but I will, since you asked, since you know something about that, I will explain to you. And so I began to explain to her, and she said, you know what? She said, I was raised, my mother wore long dresses. She was from Ohio. She was raised in Church of God. She said, my mother didn't wear jewelry. And she said, that's how we were taught. And she said, when I rebelled, she said, I rebelled as a teenager. And whenever God talked to my heart after I got married, she said, I went back to that church. And she said, everybody was singing, there is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. You know what? That's one of the songs that we know. She went back to her old Anderson church or whatever it was, and she saw that, and she said, that's not what I want.
That's right.
So you know what she is now? She's charismatic. She went with her husband to where the Pentecostal, and that's what attracted her. Listen, there's something to that.
Right.
How can we serve the lost and make them appreciate what we have if we're just so humdrum, if it looks like it's killing us?
Yes.
It's the truth.
Right.
Is your salvation killing you? I want to tell you something. My salvation is more exciting to me every year that I live.
Amen.
And it was a blast when I was 12 years old. What is it now? I'm 41. I'm, like somebody said out in the, I'm having more fun than it's fair to have. Actually, it's wonderful.
Yes.
How do I communicate that?
That's right.
I must serve my brother allowing them to know, look, we have the best in life.
That's right.
You come to our home, you'll see it there too. It's not that something that we put on at Monarch. And that's what happens a lot of times in the home. The parents act like that this way of life is killing them.
That's right.
And their children do not want it.
That's right.
If we're, there's a saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And I add to that, ain't nobody wanting mama's religion. Ain't nobody wanting to stay in the home with mama. If mama ain't happy. That's exactly true. How do we serve one another? We serve by making the atmosphere that the other person, when they come into our atmosphere, I make you feel like it's something that you want. Lord, help us. He said, I make myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. I have made all things, verse 22, to all men that I might by all means save some. Now, you know, in your congregation, in your hometown, there are people that, there are all kinds of people. There are rich, there are poor. Did you know you've got to be able to communicate with all of those kind of people?
Yes.
There are people that, let's say that they're watching your life and they come to your house and it's a disaster and they're a higher class type person and you're a saint and your place looks awful, what are they going to think? Now, these are practical things. people that they watch these things. They're saying, is your way of life better than mine? Well, you're living like this. Now, the way that we serve those kind of people is to be industrious enough and care enough about the appearance of our place and our chapel and our car and our person that we're not grunges. You understand what I'm saying? Then there's people that are down and out. How do we serve them? Do we go around and we're kind of acting a little uppity? We act upper class? We flaunt what we have? No, you don't do that. Did you know that we don't have to gain the world by sinking to the world's level of appearance, what they watch, listen, go to? We don't have to do that, but I want to tell you what we can do. We can serve people. Every person enjoys a smile.
Yes.
Every person enjoys time spent with them.
Yes.
The older people out there are craving for somebody to visit them and talk to them. Yes. There, you can have a congregation in the nursing home. They won't ever come in your chapel. But you can go to room after room after room and connect with those people.
Yes.
And serve those people.
Yes.
And win those people.
Yes. Yes.
And then there's the children. Some have a better ability to connect with children maybe than I do. Actually, my burden is for older people. But if you can connect with teenagers, I am so thankful. They need that today. Teenagers need somebody that care enough about them that they'll look them in the eye, that they'll smile at them.
Yes.
Even if they're tattooed all over,
yes,
that is still a person.
That's right.
They have worth.
Yes.
There is something good inside that person still. Satan may have masked him all over, but that person still. There's things about that. There's a person that this was brought home to me, a person that I met and knew. Actually, I knew before I met him. The last time, but I'd known them before, they had sunk deep in sin. Their life is a wreck and ruined. Their mind is nearly completely ruined. Their health is ruined. And I went to visit this person, and the ravages of 25 years of sin was all over in this house. My heart was sick. But I want to tell you what I saw. Outside the house was a beautifully tended, this was an apartment, a beautifully tended little flower garden. Deep inside this person's heart was still a craving for order and beauty.
Yes.
Sin had taken most of it out of their life, but they cared enough about their flowers that was one of the first things. And we said, is there anything we can do to help you? And she said, would you go water my flowers? And there was beauty there. There was care there. You know, there are people that there's still many, many good things in their lives. If we can just focus on those things, serve that person,
yeah,
learn that person's needs, their likes and dislikes. There are people that are very uncouth. There are people that will embarrass you. You don't really want to be around them. We've got to swallow all of that. Get over all of that.
Yes.
And just, there's things about them. You know, there's people that have a sense of humor that will make you laugh, that you wouldn't ever have imagined you could connect with that person along that line. But you begin to take the time with that person and find out about that person. There are people with developmental handicaps, people that don't look very good. That person may drool, but did you know that person has a very keen mind? That person can communicate with you maybe in other ways than speech, but we can still serve that person.
Yes.
God, help us to be aware of how we can serve people. I carry in my Bible a little poem. You may have heard me read it many times, but I read it to myself very often. It says, God, let me be aware. Let me not stumble blindly down the ways, just getting somehow safely through the days, not even groping for another hand, not even wondering why it was all planned. Eyes to the ground, unseeking for the light, soul never longing for a wild wing flight. Please keep me eager to do my share.
Yes.
God, make me aware.
Yes.
God, let me be aware. Stab my soul fiercely with another's pain. Let me walk, seeing horror and stain.
Yes.
Let my hands groping find other hands. Give me the heart that divines, that understands. Give me courage, though wounded, to fight. Flood me with knowledge and drench me in light. Please keep me eager just to do my share. God, let me be aware. I pray this morning that you will seek and I will seek to know really what it means to have a servant's heart.
Yes.
When Paul was there in Romans 13, he was saying, this is something the Lord brought to my mind also. Just about to finish here. Romans 13, no, actually it's 15. He was saying that the saints in Macedonia and Achaia had made a contribution for the poor saints that were in Jerusalem. And you can also read about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But the saints in Macedonia, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says that they were people who had great trial of affliction and deep poverty. But it really, what happened was they heard about the saints in Jerusalem that were enduring even greater trials, and they got together and said, look, we can help them. And so they got together a contribution and they implored Paul, please take this back to the saints at Jerusalem. And he commended them in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He commended them to the saints at Corinth and said, I want you to understand what these people did. But here in Romans 16, he talks about it. He said, I go now to Jerusalem, this is verse 25, to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Listen to what he says here. It hath pleased them, verily. Made them happy. That's what he's saying here. In 2 Corinthians 8, he said, they were so joyful doing this. I'm sure he's trying to communicate. He said, you should have seen how happy these saints were. You should have seen these poor widows come and bringing me these things to take to you all. He said, it was amazing. They were so happy to be giving. He said, it hath pleased them, verily, or indeed, or truthfully. It really gave them a lot of joy. And their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. What does that mean to you? I just think about it this way. If I have been so richly blessed, a way that I can respond is to serve, is to do something back, a tangible gift of love and service. How can I give you my love? Can I just say, oh, you bless me. I just appreciate you so much. No, even more than that, how can I help you? I'm a debtor to you. Here's something else that I believe that a servant's heart is. A servant's heart believes that I owe something. I owe you something. Every day you wake up and you think, you know, I owe a great debt. I want to try to pay some on my debt today. You woke up this morning already in debt. Not money. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about there have been so many blessings and so many things so freely given to us that we'll never work our way out of this debt. It's really true. That's why Jesus said when you pray, just say, forgive us our debts. Because, Lord, there is no way I can ever pay you back for what you've done for us. I think about something that my dad told me. It really stuck, has stuck with me so much. Daddy said that the Lord had blessed him and my mother with a new car. And they were coming back from a long trip from California back to their home in Missouri. And his mother lived at Guthrie. And the road went right through there. And they were tired and they had 5 more hours to drive. And he made a decision as he saw that it was raining really hard. And you know, Logan County roads, the paved roads are notorious, but the dirt roads are awful. You can slip and slide in on those. My dad knew that, and 33 Highway went right just about maybe 2 or 3 miles off of 33 Highway was where my grandmother lived out in the country on those red clay roads. My dad's driving this white car, new white car. And he said to himself, I'm going to go on by. We've got to get home anyway. I don't want to get my car muddy. He thought those things, and he was fixing to sail right past my grandmother's road, his mother, and go right on to Missouri. And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, your mother did more for you the first 2 years of your life than you'll ever be able to repay. He said he turned his car around. He went down that muddy dirt, red dirt road, slipping and sliding in the clods. He could just hear the clods just hitting the underside of the car, filled it up. He went. His mother was so happy to see him and us as we stopped for, I don't think they stopped for very long, just an hour or so, visited with Mama. He got back in the car. Clunk, 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 back to the road again. He said the Lord poured out the rain. Got on the pavement and it was raining so hard that the water bounced up off the pavement and washed the underside of his car. Now that, to me, that's outstanding because these things mean a lot to the Lord. A heart of loving gratitude and honor to someone that it's due to. The Lord, it's valuable to him. He said, honor your father and your mother. Children and young people, this is one of the things that you can start with. Start right at home. Look at your mom and your dad in a different light than you ever have before. Think about that person as the Lord Jesus. How can I serve you, Mom? What can I do to help you today? Pray. Go to your room and say, Lord, give me a servant's heart. I want to tell you something. The Lord can take an old selfish, self-centered heart and turn you around and make you a servant. He can give you a servant's heart. Do you know that? I want to tell you something else. If you're unhappy today, if you go around and you rarely feel decent toward anybody, if you feel angry and unsociable, it's because you're very selfish. It is. If you're a person today who has occasional shadows come across your heart and life, I want to tell you what that is. It's shadows of selfishness. There is not a time where when you have a real servant's heart that you're really going to feel that old nagging, yucky feeling. I can testify to that. When you're joyfully serving, the word joy, it means Jesus, others, you. J-O-Y. In that order. When you have that order all mixed around and you're doing stuff for you and you and you, you're unhappy. You are miserable. It comes out in the way you walk, in the way you look, the music that you listen to. You'd prefer the old stuff that is just horrible and ugly, that's because that's the way you feel. If the Lord would, if you'd allow the Lord to transform your heart today, put the beauty of service into your heart, you will find a lightening of every load. It'll transform you. A servant's heart will transform your life. Everything that you do will be easier. Every job will be easier. Getting along with others will be easier. It's because you've looked around on the different side of things. Well, I believe that's all the Lord has given to me. There's many other scriptures. It's interesting when you start thinking of a certain line of scriptures, you think, well, the Bible's full of them. Scripture after scripture came to my mind in the night, and I knew I couldn't share them all. But I just pray this morning that the Lord would work on all of us through this week, that the Lord will give us